is finished.
I thought we're, this coming Thursday is our national holiday for Thanksgiving. We look at Thanksgiving in a couple of different ways. Before we actually celebrate it, and after we celebrate it. And today I would like to look at Psalm chapter 136, the 136th chapter of the book of Psalms. And I hope that you took some account of when I sung that song. It's kind of an old one, it goes way back. Well, it's the Holy Ghost in power, and He's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's the Holy Ghost in power, and He's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive.
I have no idea how to find it in this song.
Okay, there's some tabs there.
I thought you can't read 90%.
Yeah, they're pretty old, I guess. Go to the front of the Bible. Mm-hmm. And turn to the cover page. And there, it's a real old one. And look for the index, will give you page numbers. Psalm 136.
Okay, here we go.
Is that just from all the years of turning the pages? You broke the tabs raw? You just can't read the tabs?
Yeah, actually, that Bible is, I've been using that for close to 40 years. Well, I should say it was one that I used extensively back then. I ended up putting my own cover on it.
Right.
As the cover wore off of it. I've just retired another Bible and gotten another one, a new one, to use. I mean, that's important. I've always told people I will carry a Bible with me everywhere I go until I have it completely memorized. Yeah. And I don't have it completely memorized yet, so I guess I'm going to have to just keep carrying a Bible with me. I have big Bibles, medium-sized Bibles, small Bibles. I have Bibles that are both Old and New Testament. Some I have are just the New Testament.
Do you have your
comparative
one? First Bible, huh? That is the first one.
The,
you know, the first one I have is the one that the dog originally chewed up.
Right.
And I still have it, but it's short a few pages.
I treasure these things more than anything. Obviously, if I had to get out of this house very quickly,
right,
I would only probably take one Bible with me. But I treasure my Bibles and the different ones that I have and the different translations, of course. So we're looking this week at Psalm 136. How many verses do we have there, Sean?
26.
Okay, and we have...
Everyone reads 5 and 1 through 6.
Excellent! You're absolutely right.
Wait, he might have been thinking about that ahead of time.
Okay, well, we'll start... Why don't we start with me, and I'll read the first 6. And then we'll go around... the room counterclockwise on my right. Every now and then I like to give little directions like that because it makes people think about things.
Right.
You know, it's a good thing to keep your brain matter supple. If it hardens on you, you're in trouble. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher. We're reading from the 136th chapter of the book of Psalms, Psalm 136. I'm reading from the Geneva Bible. Geneva translation, which is very appropriate in particular this week because this is the translation of the Bible that came over with the pilgrims on the Mayflower. So Psalm 136, Geneva translation, beginning at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. Which only doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. Which by His wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. which hath stretched out the earth upon the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. And I've just finished reading verses 1 through 6 from Psalm 136 in the Geneva translation.
Okay, I'll be reading Psalm 136, verses 7 through 12 from the
King James.
This is King James Version. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out, it's literally, is Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever.
Okay.
That was Psalm 136, verse 7 through 12, King James Version.
Okay.
I'm reading from the New International Version, Psalm 136, verses 13 through 18. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever, and brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. This right from the International Version, Psalms 136, verses 13 to 18.
Okay, I'm reading from Standard Version.
Sit up, Kim.
Psalms 136. Verses 18 through 23.
Yes.
For steadfast love and justice. Sihon, kings of Amorites. For steadfast love and justice. And Og, O.G.
Mm-hmm.
Og, king of Bashan. For steadfast love endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for steadfast love endures forever, the heritage to Israel, his servant, for steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
Psalm 136, verses 24 through 26. And rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. That is Psalm 136 from the English Standard Version.
Well, depending on what translation we're looking at, we certainly see that there's several points, if you will, that the Lord wants us to remember, and he causes for us to remember them by catechizing us. The word catechism, of course, people relate to certain denominational churches, but the word catechism means learning by repetition. We were catechized when I was a boy in elementary school concerning the addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division tables. We were catechized in a sense of spelling and a variety of other things. Well, here we're being catechized by the Lord, and if I was to cite from the Geneva translation, how many times do we read, "For his mercy endureth forever, for 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 his mercy endureth forever." How many times did I say that?
26.
That's right, 26 times. All 26 verses. You talk about being catechized in a truth. Well, there's a truth that we need to be catechized in, that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. And the interesting thing is as you look at these different verses, you find different things that the Lord did. For example, in verse 11, "and brought out Israel from among them." In 12, "with a mighty hand and stretched out arm," which divided the sea into two parts. And of course, we're talking about the sea being divided into two parts. What sea was that?
The Red Sea.
The Red Sea, divided in two parts. And so we're talking about here that the Lord did these things because his mercy endureth forever, and the special place that he has for his people, leading his people through the wilderness, killing off great kings, in other words, protecting them from those that would enslave them or protecting them from those that would kill them or whatever else. He's done all these things. And some of the ones, for example, Og, the king of Bashan, who was particularly bad to God's people, and then gave their land for heritage. And of course, today in the news, as we're looking at what's going on in the Middle East and in Israel, here we have a long time ago that the Lord gave his people their land, a heritage to Israel, a remembrance in our base estate. And so in our base estate, and the word base, when it's in antiquated language, old-fashioned language, means basically our natural way. It's difficult for us in our natural thinking, in our day-to-day thinking, for us to remember that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. It's difficult for us in our simplistic, earthly, human existence to remember that we have a lot to be thankful for. And certainly as you read through these many things here, we not only as Christians, but we also as Americans, have a tremendous lot to thank the Lord for, and remembering that his mercy endureth forever. So whatever things that have happened that are not good, have we brought them on ourselves? Have we brought the judgment of the Lord upon us, knowing that his mercy endureth forever? And if it's true, and I know that it is, that his mercy endureth forever, at any point in time that we're willing to stop and offer up our praise, and that's one of the reasons why when we gather, we praise the Lord by singing some simple choruses or hymns, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, because the Lord seeks those who would worship him. and we're changed in the presence of his worship. In his presence, we're changed by our worship of him. And see, a lot of people just don't have the time anymore. They think they don't have the time to worship him. And they don't have time to read his word and to remember the things. And he hath rescued us from our oppressors. And I can tell you that there are many things that oppress us in life, right? But the Lord's mercy endureth forever, and he rescues us from our oppressors. He gives food to all flesh. Praise ye the God of heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. And so we have a lot to be thankful for if we concentrate on that. I wonder how many people in America this week will stop and really be thankful for just having the presence of the Lord. Be thankful that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. To be thankful that the Lord is there to feed his people, clothe his people, take care of his people. And of course, I'm very touched, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week probably, but those pilgrims were offering up thanks at the time when many of them had died coming over here, many of them froze to death later, many of them were hungry and had gone through all kinds of things, yet they were still willing to take time to remember the goodness of the Lord, that his mercy endureth forever. They had been catechized. They understood that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. The Lord wants us to be thankful, not because he's anything less. If we're not thankful for him, it doesn't make him any less God. But it makes us a lot less in his presence. And that's important to remember. If we want to be all that the Lord wants us to be, then we offer up our praise to him. If we're going to be all that the Lord wants us to be, we're going to be thankful to him. And remembering, and when we're thankful, something triggers in us, if you will. And instead of thinking about all the bad things that have happened, and we all have had bad things happen, thinking about all the good things that the Lord has given us. Now, some people used to call that positive mental attitude or positive thinking. But that doesn't really hold up. What this is just the biblical prescription, if you will, for dwelling fully in the presence of the Lord. And enjoying his presence by offering thanks to him. And I can tell you that those pilgrims were not thanking the Indians for bringing food. They were thanking the Lord. And if you see some of the paintings of the situation, they were not looking at people, they were looking upward. And so for us, as much as there is trouble in our land, trouble in the world, I still am not going to allow anybody to keep me from thanking the Lord for his goodness. Because I know I've been catechized. I've been reminded over and over again, at least 26 times in this chapter of Scripture, that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. And can we make that as a statement to people that are kvetching and complaining? And say, you know, the Lord's mercy endureth forever. Remind them of that. The Lord's mercy endureth forever. Did you ever take time to thank him for what you have instead of complaining about what you don't have? And it's human nature. It is our base human nature, our fallen nature, to think about what we don't have instead of what we do have.
Well, I can tell you personally for me that once I started to be able to look at the situation and be grateful for what I did have, it got easier and easier as time got by. And the more I got into the Word, the more I would spend time saying, thank you, Lord. You know, I thank you for what I do have. Because it does seem to get easier once you acknowledge that.
It's true. That's true. Because it's the Lord's way. Thankfulness is important. And of course, the Lord tells us that praise in his presence, if you read in the King James, it says comely. That means we're our most beautiful in the Lord's presence. And he loves us at all times. His mercy endureth forever. He loves us in our ugliness. But we look the best to the Lord when we're thankful and when we're offering up praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. Just the same as, do you want to spend your time around somebody that's always down, always depressed, always grumbling, always complaining? Do you want to spend your time around somebody like that?
No.
Of course not, because after a while it's going to get to you, you know? And then you say, wow, is there anything that you can think about and see? If we look, for example, in Philippians chapter 4, we look at Philippians chapter 4, it tells us, if there be any virtue and anything worth thinking about, think on those things. See? And that's so much better than the power of positive mental attitude. It's a biblical attitude of gratitude. A biblical attitude of gratitude. Taking an attitude of gratitude. And that's what Thanksgiving is. And I tell people, if all you're doing is offering up Thanksgiving once a year, well, that's better than no times a year. But it's not nearly enough. If you really want to experience the fullness of the Lord and the fullness of joy of the Lord, find yourself being very thankful. And in the presence of thankfulness, some of the complaining and the kvetching, using the Yiddish word for complaining, goes away. You know, we've talked about when we offer up food, and I know sometimes kids in particular, I don't want to eat that, or whatever else. Well, how about being thankful that you get something to eat? Am I looking at two people that I know in this room?
Sean did the same thing with some Ruby Kraut last night we had. Like a red sauerkraut.
Yeah, nice. Good stuff. Be thankful.
Right.
Just remember that if you have a choice and you're in a restaurant, you don't have to order that off the menu. Yeah. If it was on the menu. Be thankful you get to go to a restaurant now and then and place your order. That is, if you can afford to pay for it.
Yeah.
So, I hope that this year that we will particularly be thankful. Obviously, thankful that the Lord's mercy endureth forever. I like to stop and say, okay, what are we thankful for? And then people will say, well, I'm thankful for... The kids will say, I'm thankful for Mommy, or I'm thankful for Daddy, or I'm thankful for Sister, or I'm thankful this, but... How about being thankful that the Lord's mercy endureth forever? Because if it didn't endure forever, most of us would be crispy critters by now. You know? Most of us would be. I'm certainly, as I complain, I shouldn't say complain, but challenge the Apostle Paul, where he says he's the chief of sinners. I said, that was before I was born. So I'm very well aware of the fact that the Lord's mercy endureth forever, because he's shown me mercy. He's shown me mercy. And the wonderful thing about the mercy of the Lord, he doesn't charge you for it. He doesn't force you into it. You know, many people will remind you, I was merciful to you. I could have stomped your head, and I was merciful to you. Well, the Lord doesn't put it that way. It's part of his nature to be merciful. Should be part of our nature to be thankful. We should develop that as part of our nature, and the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, will help us with that. When I think about how much this country has to be thankful for, and how people are so complaining, you know, this is wrong, that's wrong. Well, okay. It's not that we're happy that things are not the way they should be, but at the same time, looking at the things we can be thankful for, I mean, sometimes we can even say, I'm thankful that it's not worse than it is.
Yeah.
But that can be a very positive thing to say, too.
I'm just glancing over here at Psalm 137, and speaking of being catechized, this is an actual song by Jimmy Cliff from your day when you were younger. You know, the Rivers of Babylon is the way the song is, the title of the song, but it's a really good song, and I see here that most of it is taken from Psalm 137.
Right.
It was in an old movie back in the 70s, The Harder They Come. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but,
yeah.
You know, it's by the waters of Babylon. There we sat down and wept. Now, again, it's a little bit different the way he sings it, but maybe if I were looking at the King James Version, it might be word for word. But that is speaking of catechizing through song. There is a lot of that in reggae, a lot of good Christian spiritual, not just the Rastafarian stuff that they talk about, but there are good biblical Christian songs in reggae too that I think have been part of what is catechizing me as a kid. Just listening to that music and getting the positive message and getting the biblical message and not even knowing it until 20 years later, you know, I gotta think that had some effect on me.
Well, of course it did. And see, the issue is how many things in our society really have a biblical basis. Many, many things have a biblical basis.
Right.
I mean, it's obvious. I'm thankful that if it were up to the enemy and the atheists and everything else, they would have wiped every vestige of God off the earth, and they can't do it, and they won't be able to do it. And of course, here in America, you know, you can go to places like Harvard University, where I did the documentary last year about this time, and other such places where right there on an etched in stone is the truth about our country. Or, you know, I was asked for permission to run my documentary on the Forefathers Monument in Plymouth on a cable station, and I said, sure, go right ahead. I mean, I'm glad for that. I mean, here's the truth being told. That's an 85 foot high. It's the largest granite, it's thought to be the largest granite statue in the world, 86 feet high, tells the whole story, etched in granite. So the thing is, I'm thankful for that. And when we, what you're mentioning, Rich, about Psalm 137, think about this. They were sitting by the rivers of Babylon. That's because they were in Babylonian captivity. And what were they doing? They sat and they wept when we remembered Zion. And what were they remembering? They were remembering that they had a wonderful life and situation. And what happened to them? They gave it up because they forgot to remember the Lord. They forgot to be thankful. And they became arrogant. And as a result, they were taken into captivity. And the captivity was going to last. As you remember, that captivity was 70 years. The Lord says, you know what? I haven't forsaken you. My mercy endureth forever. You can be thankful I haven't forsaken you, because if I was a demon, or if I was one of these earthly kings, you'd all be slaughtered, and you'd all be dead. But no, that's not me. I want you to remember what you need to remember, and to be thankful. You're going to stay here for 70 years. You can plant vineyards. You build homes. Your children will get married. Babies will be born. But you're going to be here 70 years. That's your sentence. It'd almost be like saying, okay, can somebody go to jail for 70 years and be thankful all that whole 70 years knowing I'm not going to get out? Well, in a sense, being immortal, and I didn't say immortal, being amortal, being a person in this body, sometimes I feel trapped. Sometimes I feel that life can be sort of like a prison sentence.
Your body's a cage.
That's right. But I'm thankful that when the Lord chooses for this life to be over, it will be over, and then we're released into an eternity of glory in His presence. And I'm thankful for that. So I'm not just thankful for my daily bread, which is a good attitude. You know, I'm thankful to be able to drive a car. I'm thankful to be able to walk. And I look back on all the things that have happened to me in my life and how much worse it could have been and how much more difficult that it could have been. And yet the Lord was there. So worshiping Him is a strong power. Being thankful is a strong power. Recognizing that His mercy endureth forever, let it be etched in your thinking. Because when it's etched in our thinking, when we've been catechized, then our behavior is changed. And one of the best ways, as we're thinking about, for example, people coming to know Christ as their Savior, is it going to be by preaching? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But also, when people see us being thankful, to the God they don't know, and us reminding or telling them that we believe that God's mercy endureth forever and that there's much to be thankful for, that's going to move a lot of people, especially in a society like we have now. A lot of people aren't thankful for much. And, you know, when I was growing up, we were taught to say thank you. I don't hear a lot of people saying thank you much anymore. Not the way that it used to be. You know? Somebody hold the door for you, you say thank you. I was at the post office the other day, and a fellow held the door for me. I said, thank you, sir. He said, oh, well, you seem surprised. He said, you're welcome. Maintaining a life of thankfulness is an attitude of gratitude, and it doesn't happen just on the last Thursday in November in America. It needs to happen every day. And we certainly have good reason for it to happen every day.
It's like 60 degrees, and it's like a week until December.
Yeah. After being really cold yesterday, really cold the day before and at nighttime, and next week, so the prediction is Sunday it will be 20 degrees. But you know what? I'm still going to be thankful whether it's cold or it's hot. Whether it's summer, winter, fall, or spring, I'll be thankful anyway, because we may be challenged, but the Lord's mercy endureth forever. Well, thank you, Lord. Any other comments before we have the Lord's Supper together? Well, let's just offer up a simple prayer for our country. Father, this week, on Thursday, it's a holiday known to be, in the Old English, holiday comes from the contraction holy day. And oh Lord, that it would be a holy day to Americans, particularly American holiday, because of the Mayflower and because of the Pilgrims in Plymouth and how they stopped to thank you even in difficult circumstances, and how you were present with them in such great measure, how you're present with us in all the tribulations that are going on. Could it be anything worse than being a captive in Babylon for 70 years? But your mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. All of our many family and friends will be gathering on that day. Some will put no attention to anything but chips and dip and a football game. And maybe they need that relaxation, but we do pray that they would at least be thankful to have that day off. And we do pray that our thankfulness will spill out on others, and that they will know that there is a God in heaven, the true God, the God of the Bible, and His mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.